she used to love to go like camping and on hikes, and you know, so Monday evening Caroline was in a meeting, so I took Ellie and Molly to a trail in Forks, and we're kind of like out in the woods and stuff, and she is like leading the way, just leading the charge, just loves to go.
You just heard Michael Neese, a professor in the psychology department at Lafayette College, talking about his dog Molly. My partner, Christian Romero, and I, Casey Nevins, interviewed Professor Neese to learn more about the bond between him and his dog. There are innumerable types of human-dog relationships that exist in the world today, and that have existed since before the domestic dog or modern human was the evolved form we are now extremely familiar with. After all, as John Bradshaw writes in his book Dog Sense, the dog has been our faithful companion for tens of thousands of years. One of the roles that dogs currently play in many humans' lives is that of a family member. The relationship Professor Neese has with Molly is a perfect example of a dog's role in a human family. Throughout the interview, Professor Neese made it clear just how much Molly means to him and his family.
I just cannot overstate how much we love this dog. You know, this is the best dog I will have for as long as I live. This dog has been the most amazing, special animal from the day I brought her home. And like I said, I've had her since 2005, so I've had her for 11 years now.
Since Professor Neese has had Molly for so long, we asked him about the role Molly has taken in his life since the day he brought her home.
She is such a part of my life and has been for such a long time, you know, so I'm 37 now, so I got her when I was 26. And that was like a whole lot of stuff happened. You know, I got her as part of my first marriage, and then I got her when we divorced, you know, and that was like years ago now. Now I'm in a new marriage with a child and have a different life altogether, you know. The first 6 years I had her, I lived in Atlanta and was, you know, I got her basically 1 year into grad school, so I was just starting graduate school. And so just so much in my own life has changed, and like almost literally the one thing that has been constant is Molly. You know, so like we've been through a bunch together.
As Professor Neese's comments suggest, a dog is fully capable of providing a kind of constancy in a human's life that another human may not be able to provide. Professor Neese has needed Molly throughout the years, just as much as she needed him to rescue her from that killer shelter where he got her. After one of the many changes in Neese's life, when he and his wife Caroline Lee had their daughter Ellie, Molly was deeply affected for a long time.
When we brought the baby home, it was kind of heartbreaking for Molly in that, you know, obviously, you know, the baby doesn't do anything to change like Molly's sort of standing and like how much we care about her, but you can't really communicate that to Molly. And so for the first few weeks, you know, we would be talking to the baby and the tone in our voices would be Molly would think we were talking to her. And then you could just sort of like see on her face that she would be sort of disappointed or upset or a little bit jealous when she realized we were talking to the baby.
Alexandra Horowitz writes in her book, A Sight of a Dog, What Dogs See, Smell, and Know. The dog respond with alacrity to baby talk, practically because it distinguishes speech that is directed at them from the rest of the continuous jammering above their head. Moreover, they would come more easily to high pitch and repeat calls, requests, than those at a lower pitch.
But now what's happened is Molly and the baby are like best friends, you know, so the baby can be sitting in the middle of the floor and we leave the room, and not only are we not worried about Molly like doing anything to harm the baby, Molly will actively like protect and watch the baby. Molly, if the baby's sitting on the floor, Molly will roll by and lick her face and give her a kiss.
Molly is such an integral part of their family life that she is present and plays a leading role in creating some of the most important memories a family can have. For example, the first time Ellie's parents heard her laugh was because of Molly.
So Molly got the Zooms and we're sitting in the hammock and Ellie's just watching her and just laughs like crazy every time Molly runs by. And that's the first time I ever heard my daughter laugh was out loud, you know, was Molly Zooming.
It is so obvious just how much this memory means to Professor Neese and his family, and how it will stay with them forever. This story reminded us of many of the relationships described in Caroline Knapp's book, Pack of Two, The Intricate Bond Between People and Dogs. Knapp writes that a dog will return us to more idyllic times, to summer afternoons we spent romping with the family dog as children. Dogs provide constancy and protection and solace. This could not be more true for Molly's family. Neese's comments also brought up the point that Molly will not be with them forever. Since Molly is an elderly dog, she will not be there for significant portions of Ellie's life, like she was there for Professor Niece for 11 years.
The honest truth is she probably has some type of cancer right now. She's, she doesn't seem sick, but basically she started having some health problems a couple years ago, and a little over a year ago, they, did some tests and found, like, odd cells in her urinary tract, and they think she had, like, bladder cancer.
Because of this finding, Molly had a few x-rays, but the vets were not able to find any tumors on them. She just had abnormal cells, which have grown in numbers as time has passed.
At her age, it was like, you know, we're not going to, there's no point in doing surgery in a dog that's that old. And she doesn't have the ability to tell us what she thinks about that, you know, if she would want that.
He went on to explain that they asked the veterinarian to give Molly medicine that would keep her alive as long as possible, and as comfortably as possible, while still keeping constant her good quality of life. This line of thinking goes along with what Lori Gruen writes in her book, Entangled Empathy. Niece expresses empathy towards Molly, which Gruen describes as recognizing connection with and understanding of the circumstances of the other. Though it was probably difficult for Professor Niece to talk about, we spoke about just how much his life will change when Molly eventually does pass away.
I think it's going to be shockingly sort of quiet and lonely when she's not around anymore, you know, because, like I said, like it's part of my brain, right? It's like if I'm walking around the house, then I expect that she's going to get up and follow me where I go to see what I'm doing.
As Knapp writes, the dog loves you in a particular way, with a kind of focus and constancy that's rare, if not unparalleled, among even the most devoted family members. The love from a dog is unique, and it does not compare to the love from another human. Niece explains how the love between him and Molly is so meaningful that he would even miss the pitter-patter of Molly's feet around the house.
We just feel really fortunate that she made it long enough to get to meet Ellie, and that we're getting this extra time with her.